Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hey everybody, on this episode of the GH Report, we're going to be breaking down all the latest goings on in Port Charles. And everybody, Valentin is not a monster. He's not a monster.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, that sound can only mean one thing. It's Sunday, and that means it's the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV. Of course, we're going to be breaking down all the latest goings on in Port Chuck this week. A very short week, though, only 3 days. So, we're going to get really in depth, guys. You're going to be tired of us by the end of it. Trust me. I'm your host, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
Now, Papa Bear, James Lott Jr., sadly, again, he is touring the countryside, still signing autographs, answering fans' questions. Hopefully, he's in your neck of the woods. Maybe you've got an autograph signed. Maybe you've got a question answered. Maybe you got a hug from James Lott Jr. That's a very rare and special treat to get a James Lott Jr. hug. So he is not here with us. Probably going to be not this week nor next week. But fingers crossed, beginning of February, he will be back in the pilot seat where he belongs. But in the meantime, we will hold down the fort as best we can. That's right. but as always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Lucretia has got her computer up and running, so that means the chat is up and running as well. I know you guys are probably already in there chiming away on your thoughts about this week's episode. So.
Oh, yeah. It's all about Spinelli and Lulu.
Yes. And, you know, why don't, you know, those likes on, you know, we're just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds away from 2,000 likes.
I know. I was thinking that'd be our Christmas miracle, but it's January.
if we're talking like Christmas, like 2089, then, yeah, there you go. The Christmas miracle for them. But in the meantime, all right, the chat, you guys have been talking. We'll save Spinelli for a second because my favorite thing is Lulu and her just terribleness during the storyline. So let's just jump right into this. Lulu is driving me bonkers.
Oh, my God. Me too. I mean, like, that's literally the worst thing she could do right now is to... I just love, at least in our previews, we get to see Charlotte's like, no,
I don't understand. It's just, I feel like Lulu's character now only exists to whine about not having Charlotte know that she's her mother. And everybody's saying, hey, let her grieve for her mother, who she thinks is her mother. Give her time, then we'll introduce it. And it goes back to even like Laura telling her how they should handle the Valentine situation. And Lulu just ignores all that. She just ignores everybody's wishes.
Yeah, and that's the thing with this character is I'm like, we need to figure out who this person is because she is not a Spencer. She is not the Lulu character that I love. And none of this is on Emmy Ryland. She's killing all of her scenes. You know, she's got to act what's written on the page for her. And what's written on the page for her is this needy bitch.
Oh, it is killing me. I cannot watch another scene of her just whining to like, oh, why am I not making a connection? I just wanted to let her know. I'm like,
Yeah, TR in the chat says, I'm just going to say this and get it out of the way. I think that Lulu is being way too damn selfish. Does the other kid not count? Are you that needy and greedy? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, come on, Rocco. You've got... I thought she at least had reached a point where she thought the embryo was lost and that she'd kind of got to a place where like, Rocco is good enough. She's sad, but hey, we're going to just... You know, we have Rocco. That's a special prize for us anyway. We're going to enjoy him. Let's move on. And now that Charlotte's in the picture, it's just she cannot think of anything else.
Yeah, and that's the thing is she's just so singularly focused. She's not thinking about her husband. She's not thinking about Rocco. She's not even thinking about her mother's wishes. I mean, literally all Lulu can see is that's mine. And the thing is like we have one defender in the chat, Mel. I don't get the Lulu hate. Is she not supposed to claim her child? Well, in due time, I mean, the thing is, it's about what's best for the child. And right now, Lulu is not what's best for Charlotte.
No, she only thinks that what's best is that she be that Charlotte should be with her all the time. But you're right. That's not what Charlotte needs at this moment.
Yeah. I mean, Kelly from PEI is like, Lulu is driving everyone bonkers. Eric Harris is like, Lulu is cuckoo. Stephanie Stinger is like, selfish, selfish, selfish. I don't like Lulu. And how can she hurt Charlotte like that? And it's just like everyone seems to be in agreement that the way that Lulu is doing this is completely wrong. We have one defender, because I've even done polls. Ask people, like, who likes Lulu right now?
Oh. And it's like this, he's not, Valentine's not taking Charlotte and running away. He is there in Port Charles. She, she's going to be around. So just take it slow. I don't know why she feels the need. And, but I do like that Dante, at least, he's not single. He's so blind about this whole situation that he's just going to blindly side with Lulu. It's like, you know, Valentine has a point. Let him tell her about Claudette and then give her time to kind of grieve about this. And then work about introducing you as a real mother.
Yeah, because to me, Dante is doing the right thing. He's trying to calm her down. Same thing with Laura. Like, Laura hates Valentine. He killed Nicholas. So, but for Laura to have more restraint, it's just like, Lulu, what is up? I like Simran, who says, Lulu needs a Xanax. I can't. I mean, I love Emmy Ryland, too, but I'm rooting for Roxy the Bearded Dragon more than her.
I like we were talking about last week, I enjoy seeing scenes where Lulu gets shut down. I just can't get enough of it. Like, please keep shutting her down. This is just so miserable.
Yeah, and I know that some people have brought up Nina in the situation and is bonding with Charlotte. But the thing is, Nina's not pretending to be her mom. Nina is someone who was introduced to Charlotte by her showing up in her office. This was a cute little meet-cute for this, you know, potential mother-daughter pairing in a way. And two, Nina is Valentine's wife now. So she has a reason to be around Charlotte, and she's also not forcing her to do anything. That's the difference here, is Nina's going about this the right way, just being there for her when she should be, as Valentine's wife.
Yeah, and not trying to deny Lulu any access.
No.
Not at all. She's not trying to cut Lulu out of Charlotte's life at all. It's just like, let's do this in the right way. And what's so frustrating is that Laura, of course, you know, Nicholas, lost on Castlydyne Island for years and years and years. Didn't get a scene when he came back until, like, a teenager to help out, you know, with Lulu. So, I mean, but Lulu makes it feel like no one understands. I'm a mother. Like, Laura had a son that she didn't get to see for, like, 16 or 17 years. So hold on your horses there about a kid that you haven't seen for a few years.
And two, it's just, like, way to show yourself as a sociopath that she is not. I mean, she's even brought up the fact that Nina can't have a kid, and in such a rude way, numerous times. It's like, wow, you have no empathy whatsoever. And two, at her best friend's wedding, just keeps fighting with Nina about it.
Yes.
And Nina's like, I'm trying to do this for my brother Jay, like, and I love Maxie too. Like, she's the one helping with all this and trying not to make a big deal about it. But yeah, why should Valentine not come?
And what I like about that is there's even the moment where Nina, who's already said she's not a huge fan of Griffin Monroe, runs him to him at Nina and Nathan and Maxie's wedding, and takes a, like, just kind of like softens it all and says, hey, you know, if you want to say hi to Charlotte, I know you guys are really close.
Yeah.
Like, that was really cool of Nina. She didn't need to do that. I mean, she softened her stance on everything, too, and just realized, hey, we got to just, you know, you have a connection with the child. If you want to go talk to her, then that's great.
Yeah, I really liked that scene with Nina and Griffin. To me, that was something we needed to see because, too, he was sort of innocent in the situation, and he is a good guy. And for Nina to, you know, make that olive branch, she's like, you know, it's okay. We know that you care about her. Like, because it was about what's best for Charlotte. Liked him.
Yeah, and I'm ashamed that we didn't get to see that interaction between Griffin and Charlotte. That was a bummer. Yeah. I wish we would have seen something like that. Because as it turned out, Christian and I were talking a little bit about this. I worry for good old Dr. Griffin Monroe. What his role going forward in the future for this? Because if it's just scenes of him just drinking and scowling at Valentine from across the way and then getting gut punched and getting his butt kicked out on the balcony of the Metro Court, like, oh man, Griffin, please, there's got to be something more coming for you down the way.
Yeah, I feel that because of Matt Cohen's other obligations, he was sort of taken out of the storyline for a minute, so maybe we're going to get him more involved with the Anna stuff, which is really interesting, because their chemistry is sort of, he's sort of replaced Patrick in her life, as in a, you know, a young guy who she can sort of be a mom to that's missing his mother, and it's not weird in any way. That's what I like about Anna, is she sort of does that with Nathan and Dante as well.
Yeah.
Even though they have mothers in their lives. But yeah, it's nothing weird. That's, she's just this mentor. And I did say his him getting drunk and that, you know, his sadness over Claudette was pretty hot. Like,
let me console you. Yeah. Wait, she.
I love sadness.
Yeah, she died by drowning, but she was an excellent swimmer. She would never kill herself. So I do like, you know, I think we've talked about last week. We don't think that Claudette's really dead, but she's somehow confined or something, at least for a while. But yeah, I feel like. Certainly, between Nathan and Griffin, I feel like Griffin is much more adamant that Claudette wouldn't have done this to herself.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting is at least he seemed to have known her a little bit better. And even Nathan was like, yeah, I don't see that, you know. But now he's like, well, I'm marrying Maxie. Like, you're declared dead. Now we can get this on with. They at least gave him a bit of a grieving period, but it was interesting to see how they're like, all right.
Well, as we talk about getting married, this like seemed like the big thrust of the week was finally getting to see Nathan and Maxie get married. And I don't know about you, but Maxie's pity party was annoying as hell.
Yeah, I did not enjoy that. And I don't know why they felt. And to me, it's just like, if we were going to continue to drag it out, why couldn't we have waited till Bradford Anderson could do it? Because that. No offense to Blake. He did a fine job with what he was given. It's just, he's not Spinelli to us.
No. Yeah. And I mean, that's such a thankless role to hop in, especially for just a couple days and pick up the slack from a very beloved character, actor. Yeah. It was just weird seeing him doing things like, and you could only think about like, well, if Bradford Anderson had been in there, like how those scenes would have played out. Because I feel like there are moments where the comedy would have probably landed a little bit better with him.
Yeah, because that was the thing. And two, he just had such great chemistry with everybody involved. Like, I mean, especially with Kirsten Storms, but, you know, with Mac and Felicia. You know, Spinelli was a part of this family. You know, Robin, he was a quirky guy. And so I guess that's why it was good that Jason and Sam really didn't show up, because then it would have made it really weird without him, with this guy, like, trying to really... talk to them.
Yeah, I didn't hear him say stone cold.
It's like, no.
That would have been weird. So the whole big thing is Maxie's honored a little pity party because this whole thing they've been having her do, trying to get the Crimson Wedding issues, kind of backfired. She's gotten so fed up that she decided she needs to go see Georgie, and she's taken off to Portland to go see that. And just happens to run into Spinelli at the airport. What are the odds?
Yeah, I at least like that Spinelli was sort of the one to save the day, because I will say, nothing against Nathan and Maxie together, but I'm a diehard Spixie fan. I still to this day think that if Bradford Anderson were to ever come back, it's them forever. I mean, little Georgie. Sorry, Ellie, but...
it'd be curious to see how... I don't know why... I feel like any character that's kind of left the canvas, the one that they've kept most close ties to, referring to, even when they're not on camera but just talking about him, has been Spinelli.
Yeah.
So I feel like if Bradford could get his whatever, you know, his career, if he wanted to come back, I feel like he could get folded in easily.
Yes, because that's the thing, is Spinelli would fit in with the Sam, Jason, Curtis stuff. He'd fit in with, like, Maxie, Nathan, you know, even the Claudette, you know, Charlotte, all that story. He would fit in there. There's so much for him. But at least, you know, like everyone seems to say, like, Blake Barris did a good job with what he was given, but he wasn't Spinelli. But at least they're trying to give him different jobs. Like, Marlon Wallace says he should be Patrick Drake. I think he's a little young. But Sawyer Olive says Blake looks like Brian Craig. Am I the only one who noticed that? Yeah. I could see him being Morgan. I mean...
That's very true. That'd be... It'd be interesting. I don't know if GH would take somebody... They came in one actor and then recast him as another one. That would seem too weird. But I don't know.
I mean, Trevor St. John did that as Todd when he wound up being like three different characters by the end because they changed him from Todd. Or, that's happened a few times because, I mean, even Anthony Montgomery played a brief character before he was Andre.
Did he?
Yeah, he was the guy who Maya had an affair with, just to break up with Ethan, because Annie Alonzo got a job on Charlie's Angels, then eventually Arrow. So,
All right. Well, there you go. Fine. So, look at that. It worked out. So this I don't know, like hearing Maxie. What's so frustrating is just hear Maxie like, did I miss my chance to get married? Just, I don't know why they had this character, why they had Maxie just whine for so long about this.
Yeah, it was like that, why did we need that? Because the thing is like these characters have been supposed to be getting married for so long. I mean, they're a popular couple. And to me, I felt like they were dragging it out for Claudette to come back and interrupt it.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing now there was a comment in the chat about, I guess she'll come back. And so the marriage is null and void. So maybe we'll get a different wedding. But at least the Max scenes were really good, and he was there for what he should have been, to walk her down the aisle, to have that dance.
Yeah, although, yeah. I mean, I guess if she – I don't know if the marriage would be null and void because she's considered legally dead now, right?
Yeah, and that's my thing. Is so if she was declared dead and is not dead, I mean, I don't know how that works. I've never married someone.
Yeah, because when Robin came back, when Sabrina and Patrick were to get married, they had to get remarried again, right? Because they didn't get divorced. Because she was declared.
She did send him divorce papers when she went off the second time. That was the thing. Because they remarried because she'd sent him divorce papers from Paris when she was off with Jerry Jacks.
So I guess I remember that.
That's weird.
Did they not declare her dead?
So she was declared dead, but I guess because she came back, it was like, well.
You're still my wife. Okay. Yeah.
They do that on soaps all the time. I don't know how real that is, though.
Yeah. I don't know. If anybody in the chat knows. If anybody from the chat has gotten divorced and a loved one's died, they've been declared legally dead, and then they've come back years later as you've been marrying somebody else. Tell us how that went for you.
How that works.
Is it like it is on TV, or is it really different? We want to know. But I feel like Nathan stepped up. I mean, he just made this whole big elaborate thing. Made this whole arrangement for give Maxie the wedding that they finally needed to have happen. And Maxie just like, oh, wait, I can't force Nathan into doing this. Like, hey, dum-dum, Nathan set this all up. So just relax and go with this. I don't know. All right, so GH, we talked about last week, always does a good thing with weddings where they try it once, it fails, and then they kind of do something a little bit different. How does this wedding compare to some of the other ones we had throughout 2016?
I will say it was Julian and Alexis's wedding was by far the best, which is funny, considering how they are now. Yes. But I would say this was decent. I mean, that's the thing. It was decent. As I say, Robin was there. That was good. Mac and Felicia were there. And Mac did what Mac should be doing. But for a character like Maxie, who has not really ever had a wedding and has been such an important person on the show for so long, I wish they'd done more for her.
Yeah. I will tell you, which, as you were mentioning, it was great to have Mac and Felicia back. And I am always a sucker for any time Mac will talk to Maxie. Just about, like, I know I'm not your real father, but, you know, and where she goes, like, you know, I don't call you dad often, but, you know, you're the best father I could ever have. I'm just like, I'm a sucker for those scenes.
I know.
Always. It gets me every time. I'm like, I'm getting teary-eyed. It's happening.
See, it made two cynics like us feel feelings. Yes. That scene. I was like, oh,
I was so uncomfortable. Like, what is this? What is it I'm feeling? It's compassion and, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And when I see scenes like that, it just makes me realize, like, dang it, why isn't Mac given more to do on the show? I mean, and by extension, Felicia. But Felicia this week was just like extra baggage. She didn't really have much to do other than like get a phone call from Lucy. Like, that was it?
That was it.
All right. But it's just like, gosh darn it, Mac, give Mac more to do.
Yeah, John J. York is so funny. And like, he would work well with like even Scotty and Franco. And like, you have Kevin Collins, you have Laura, Matt, and then the Anna storyline. He could fit in any of those. Why is Mac not the bartender at Jeans? Like, you know, he was a bartender in Floating Rim. Like, or why do we even have Jeans when we have Mac here?
Yeah, I would like it if any bar that ever showed up in Port Charles, Max was just the guy running the bar behind there. That's just what he does.
All of them. It'd be fine.
So it's just like, please, you have a character that you can do so much more with. And they've done such a great job bringing Kevin Collins back in, you know, with Scotty, and then Lucy to a lesser extent.
Yeah.
There's always more you could do with Lucy on there. But, like, you've got Mac and Felicia right there. We've got such strong ties to so many characters on the show. Just give them stuff. They can do it.
Yeah, I mean, Felicia did mention the Aztec necklace to Andre.
Yes.
And I've already mentioned this to Frank, but I feel you guys should know, this would be a way to bring in Andre's hat that Frank hates.
I hate that hat so much.
As he could investigate the Aztecs.
I want that shot by a blow dart and then stuck to some kind of, some pyramid wall down in Mexico somewhere. Like, oh, that hat is the pits. speaking of good old Andre, Jordan, of course, is going to the wedding. Andre's her plus one. But then Curtis comes along and says, hey, you know what? That homeless guy that I said that you know, would be willing to come forward and talk to you on the down low, some kind of remote location, secluded area. We have to do this now, this evening. Otherwise, you know, he's not going to talk to you. And it looks like Jordan and Curtis are going to be going off looking for this guy.
Yep. And then see, Anna had to pick up the pieces for Andre and Nathan. Like, oh, your boss. Couldn't be there for your wedding. Your old boss showed up.
Yeah. But I'm here. I feel like it's been like just, you've seen the sexual tension between Curtis and Jordan. I feel like taking them to on some kind of like secluded area, they're going to get trapped in some fashion and the making out's finally going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, there's just too much sexual tension with those two for them to be in a room alone together off that they're not going to do it.
Yeah. Who's going to make the move first?
I feel that it's going to be Jordan.
Yeah, she's going to have to. Because I feel like Curtis knows what's up. He knows that there's something there. I feel like Curtis feels like, oh, if I pushed it, it probably would happen. But no. I'm going to make her come to me.
Because Curtis has moves.
Yeah. And, all right, so the whole thing that Curtis has been working on, along with Jason and Sam, is trying to figure out who's responsible for the bombing of Julian. And so they've been in some death-defying situations, been in a building that was set on fire. They've gotten on there, keep getting closer and closer. And so what I do like about this is that Curtis has always been up front with Jason about, like, you know, we need to bring in the PCBD at some point. You know, and having this connection with Jordan feels like at least it's somebody I know I can trust that's not going to screw us over. But, man, Jordan does not make it easy whatsoever.
That's the thing is I love Vanessa Antoine, and it's nice to see a strong woman on the show. But I wish that they'd make her more like Anna and Robin were, where you can have a strong woman without them being such a bitch. I mean, and that's the thing is, like, just dial Jordan back a little bit. Yeah, and that's all they need to do.
I don't know why they dialed her up, because she wasn't as bad
when she first came on. Yeah.
As somebody who made her living for so long undercover and being stuck in that gray area, for somebody that is just so rigid and by the rules right now, just seems so weird from where she came from.
Yeah, I was like, it made no sense for them to really amp that up just for this sexual tension with Curtis, because that's where it seems to really only be for this. I mean, because I don't really care when she's bitchy with Julian and Ava or whatever. That makes sense.
Do you, I mean, I guess, you know, do you care now that they go away talking to this homeless guy to get his take on everything and they finally hook up? Is it going to be like, finally, or it's going to be like, oh, this should have been happening like 6 months ago?
Yeah, I think it's the latter, because that's the thing. It's like, meh, I just don't care.
See, man, we're getting back into it. There was like just whatever it is, like with real world casting issues and, you know, actors' roles or other things that they book outside of GH just impacting the story they're trying to tell on GH. It's just, man, it just makes it unfortunate that the excitement that you have, like, what I think, you know, what, like months ago when we realized, oh, there's some connection right there. They're having that, like when they were just like, you know, like practically right here over in the interrogation room at Port Charles PD, and nothing happened. Like, but you could just tell it was just right there. And now it's been months and months and months and months, and there's been hardly any movement, and now we get this. I'm like, you're right. Do I care?
Yeah, and I feel that that's been GH's problem as of late, is just that it's too long for the payoff. Just like Maxie and Nathan's wedding and stuff like that. It's when stuff's drug out without much thought. I mean, I think that's the thing, is like, if there's at least a reason into, we can accept, like, say with Anthony Montgomery having to have surgery or whatever, he was a little bit off, so that may have been part of it. It's like, okay, but he's been back for a little while, so so what's happened?
And I gotta admit, I've never been a huge Andre Jordan fan at all. That for them to get broken up, or Jordan to at least, you know, hook up with Curtis, I'm not gonna be devastated. It's like, because as we've talked about for long, I'd rather see Andre with Anna. It's like, I'm not losing any sleep if Jordan and Andre break up. It's like, just let him go. Let her go. Let her move on. Let her move on with Anna.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I hope that's still their, you know, game plan, because they're still putting them in scenes together. They still have chemistry. And two, it doesn't feel like that story has lost any momentum in a way. because you still have these moments where they get together and talk about stuff, and there's that friendship and that obvious chemistry. And two, it's just Vanellope Hughes, she can do no wrong. I mean, sorry.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's very true. I mean, so the one, as we're talking about Griffin Monroe getting his butt kicked out there on the balcony with Valentine, since he decided to get drunk and accuse Valentine of killing Claudette. As Valentine's laying into him, Anna comes in, and I do like pulls him off and gives him a nice slap across the face.
Yeah.
Look at her go. I was like, all right. You're that nothing fire. But a bully.
Yeah, her little protecting little Griffin was so, yeah. So cute. I was like, he's not trained like you. And then she's like, that's where I know. And she's like thinking about it. So like to me, for that reveal with their whole thing, that he was sort of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, I feel that this is where we're going to get more of the heart with Valentine. Because at first I was worried that they were going to write him off as a villain, you know, after the whole, like, Charlotte hearing that sort of thing. But then you get this and you're like, well, maybe not. Maybe this is where we're establishing that he really is this broken person that can be fixed.
Interesting. Finally, as they're doing, Nathan and Max are getting married, Anna's getting more flashes of this memory that her and Andre have been working on recovering. And it finally comes that she walks into the room and good old Valentine shows up, but he is just more of a monster than a man. And
yeah.
I was not expecting that twist at all.
Me neither. I was like, that. Good job, GH. You shocked me.
Yeah, it's like, I'm really curious what the decision was, and we'll find out, but like what the decision was, like, let's make him just a hunchback that has been like surgically just augmented to look like a really handsome, cool looking dude.
I know. He got such good plastic surgery, you know, like whenever you know, we've had some of these other people go through. You're like, wow, I got way hotter. Or like when Blair was not Asian on One Life to Live. It's like, well, that's interesting.
And I'll be curious, like, who, because that kind of surgery, seeing what he looked like before to what he looks like now, not cheap, I'd imagine. So who was footing the bill for all of that? Was it Cassidy money?
That's what I'm thinking, is Helena. Helena has to be involved, right? Just because she's like, wait, this Cassidine's ugly? Let's fix that. Like, hold on. Because it's all been a family full of a bunch of hot dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, is that also when she took his sperm donation as well?
I'm guessing that because as, you know, he really did seem genuine with the you know, he was a victim of Helena too, with Lulu. And that's why he seemed to be, like, you know, not against Lulu and finding all that out when it sort of came to head and was telling them the truth. That's why at least this certainly makes that story more believable as well, that, you know, she found this guy and, you know, trained him to be this.
Yeah, and it's just curious just to see the kind of transformation that he's gone under. And, I don't know, we've talked about before how he came onto the show killing Nicholas. Do you feel yourself softening up now about all of that? Like, seeing what his origins were?
Yes, to me, I started softening up with the Charlotte storyline plus James Patrick Stewart. It's just so sexy, and he's so good at playing this that you want to like him. Because even when he, spoiler alert, if you don't watch Supernatural, he came on that show killing Bobby Singer. but you're still like, I don't know, I kind of like this guy.
And I do like the nice touch that when he just really gets pushed out of his comfort zone and he gets agitated, the stutter starts coming back in. Just like you see how hard it is for him to talk. And it's like, oh, I really like that little touch.
Yeah, I like that. And he's sort of been doing that a little bit to lead up to this. When he talks to Anna, he gets a little nervous. And it's like, wow, this new layer of Valentine is just way more interesting.
Yeah, so I'm really curious like what his deal was at the WSB, that he was just some kind of hunchback janitor or something there, because clearly not in training for an agent, not in the way that he was then. So, but somehow still able to be around. Was he just like a custodian or something?
Yeah, that's what I wonder, is what did he do? Because, you know, Anna at least seemed to care about him in a little bit of way, and when she realized that's who it was, she sort of felt bad. So that's why I'm thinking it was probably someone who was nice and not part of that, you know, maybe her niceness was misconstrued and he was in love with her and things like that. You know, very similar to the Hunchback of Notre Dame story.
Yeah. And I guess, like, how do you feel about, like, being rude to somebody that, you know, just couldn't help but fall in love with you? And you're like, get away from me, you weirdo. Like, now you're back. And
Now you're really hot. Just like Doolin points out, when Julian had plastic surgery. Yeah, I was like, no offense to the other guy that was before I was born, but Lillian DeVry is a very good-looking dude. Another example of they must have had the same plastic surgeon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so let's sidestep for a second. We'll talk about the Jerome family. We finally, Yeah. Finally, after how many months and how many shots we got of first, like, the hand and then part of the arm, and now we get to finally see Olivia Jerome back in action. Well, for me, long past the expiration date of me caring.
Yeah, that's the thing is I've known about this storyline, unfortunately, pretty long, too, that it was coming. So I like that it's coming, but as far as I know, it's going to be pretty short. And it's just, I like that it's tied to Duke. And there was someone in the chat, please tell me your name when you get in here, because it was so long ago, about wondering if maybe Olivia, with all this Duke stuff, was Griffin's mom. Like, that would be so interesting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because, you know, her pointing out the whole Duke shrine was at least, I was like, okay, this part is cool. Because her being after Julian and stuff, for no reason other than, because I believe he killed her. Again, I wasn't alive when that was on originally, so if you guys could correct me, is I always thought Julian killed her, and that was her issue. But I like that it's about Duke, and it's going to be tying in some more characters, like possibly Griffin.
And I do like how, man, you talk about Anna. Not a big fan of Anna.
Yeah, that was interesting, because, too, it's like, everybody's against Anna right now. It's like, you got Valentine, you got Olivia. So to me, I feel that Valentine may go after Olivia for Anna. And that may be one of his redemption storylines. But
oh, that could be true. What I do like is just when she opens up that little shrine to Duke and you just see photos of... photos of Duke taken from, like, real life press events and stuff like that, where just, like, he's very casual. There's, like, he's no tie on, suit coat, shirt buttoned open a little down low. I'm like, oh, casual Duke. All right, rocking it. And they're cutting her face out and putting it in front of Anna's, like, wedding photo and stuff.
That was so fun. I was like, I love the photos. And, like, clearly some of them are cut and pasted and stuff like that. And I loved the flashback because, like I say, I wasn't alive then. I was like, that was cool to see.
That was I did like that a lot, and I would love to know, because she mentions, like, how much they love tangoing, and so I'd love to see, like, was that actually true? Is that something that she's just kind of built up in her head about her and Duke? I don't know exactly what, like, the deal was in her and Duke's relationship.
Yeah, because as I say, I wasn't watching that, and a lot of people are talking about, you know, they don't want to give Olivia another kid unless they're going to actually have her on the damn show. That's our Melvin fan, Levy, there. And then Kelly from PEI is like, spoilers are saying that maybe Anna is Griffin's mom. Because I've heard that since he came on the show, because they have such a good connection. But and then Michael B. brings up, didn't Anna have, like, memory loss at one time? So that may be why she doesn't remember Griffin, and this may be tying into that. But, yeah, people seem to be divided.
Interesting. So... Griffin thinks is his real mother is really just an adopted mother, and she's never told him who she. That seems, I don't know. That seems so weird, because, like, why would you say, like, I had this affair with Duke Lavery a long time ago, and you never knew he had a kid? But in actuality, you're really, not even mine either.
That's sort of the thing, and same thing with Olivia being his mom, being that she was off and not being able, because she talks about not being able to have a family and stuff like that. So, to me, in a lot of the dialogue, it would make sense, maybe, for Olivia, because, you know, maybe Griffin's real mom wrote that, you know, and I don't know. But, as I say, they tend to rewrite everything. I mean, some are saying Olivia's only here to rewrite Julex's.
It was so weird, because I imagine that if you're going to bring back Tanya Walker to play Olivia Jerome, the way that we were just seeing her hands and part of her arms for such a long time, I thought she was going to come back with some sort of, like, physical impairment or, like, some huge scar or something from what Julian's assassination attempt on her led to.
Yeah.
And she comes back and she's just like, nope, I'm Tanya Walker. I'm just, a little older than I was before, but I'm perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's what I thought was weird, for them not to have any sort of lasting effects, or, like, maybe she was in a wheelchair, just something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I thought the way she always seemed to be just sitting down when you saw just her hand, I was like, all right, you're right. She's probably in a wheelchair or something, and that's why we always see her sitting down. But no, she just,
she's fine.
I didn't feel like getting up, so I'm just going to just keep sitting here while you're talking about this stuff, Rudge. The actor that plays Rudge, I like him, but I don't know, I feel like he's just here for as long as Olivia's here, and then that's it.
Yeah, I'm like, where are we going with this? Because, he's interesting.
Yeah. So we do see that Julian is getting told by Rudge, like, hey, you know what, we've got to get this Jason Morgan issue is big time. We got to get rid of him. And Julian's, It feels like this is almost like the straw that broke the camel's back. He's like, that's it. I'm not gonna kill my daughter's son-in-law, even though I'm not a huge fan of him. I'm not gonna do that to her.
Yeah, and that's what I say, is the way that they're writing Julian now is so how they should have been writing him all along, where he's like, you know, he's in a rock and a hard place, but he's still like, no, I'm not going to do this to my family. You're not going to touch Alexis. You're not going to touch Jason.
Yeah.
I like the way it's like, okay, I can even forget about the crap before, because this is how Julian should be.
I am frustrated with GH. We've talked about this before in terms of taking so long to do the reveals, whether it's the writer room just is writing and they don't know exactly why something is happening, but they're just doing it.
Yeah.
And then they figure out the reason later and hope that it, you know, fans will buy it. So I don't know, like with this whole Julian storyline, that they had this idea for a while and they just decided to, you know, turn him, have him do a heel turn for the longest time and then finally reveal, like, no, you know, he really had a reason for why he was acting so crazy. Now we're going to tell you what it is. Just as a fan, would you have enjoyed the story more with Julian's whole arc, what they're trying to do with him, if you knew right from the get-go that his sister had blown back into town and was putting the screws to him and now having to see him kind of do all these things that he did not feel comfortable doing?
Yeah. Had they done that in the beginning, that would have been way more understandable. And two, as we all say, where they had it cross the line was Alexis. And having him hold it, especially because of how her mother was murdered and he knew all that. And two, they never really explained how he could do that. And that's the thing, is there was no part of Julian's Rome before or after that said he would do that.
Yeah.
It made no sense. And that's the only thing, because I get killing Carlos, because a lot of that was to protect Alexis in some ways, too.
Yeah, I just don't understand. And it's just like, I would love to know if the writers made a conscious choice to try to tell a story this way, and they thought it might be like, oh, this is kind of different from the SORP norm. We're going to do something a little bit different and see if the fans will go with us on this ride. And whether this is an experiment or this is the way they want to try stories more in the future, I think this was not a great way to execute this whole Julian storyline.
No, because, I mean, and especially, like, I'll get to some comments here about Olivia in a second, because they were pretty interesting here in the chat, but just mention, like, Julian in the scene with Ned and Olivia. And even Ned is like, gotta give it to Julian. He seemed genuine. He really was like, he was so grateful to Ned. And that's, I was like, that's Julian. Because Julian is the person who left the mob after Lucas was shot. He's like, no, we're not doing this. I'm getting out with my family. So to have him come back, and at least now they're like, yeah, it wasn't even for Ava. It was because of this or that. Because Ava even felt a little bit guilty because of all that happening to Julian. Because they're, like, tight, and I like that. But
yeah, it's just, what also frustrated me about that scene is that finally, well, two things. One, they do this stuff with baby Leo, where that was their big intimidation tactic, was they're going to put, like, sugar pills, or at least find out later, but a couple of aspirins in his hand and keep an open bottle of aspirin right next to him.
Yeah, like, why? That was so, I mean, I get that at least we didn't think about them attacking Leo. So, and that was a good way to bring Olivia and Ned in.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That just seems so weird. And what I liked, though, was when Ned pops in, which I was like, hey, great, an unexpected Ned appearance, and it's not Quartermain related. It's Olivia related and Leo related. But the way he comes on, and, like, he's got to be, like, so, a lot of exposition for why he's there. Oh, well, I was there to pick up the baby to bring her there because I was also going to the wedding. Like, we got it, Ned.
We don't need to explain it. We're just happy you're here. Like, if you could have said, I was dropping by to get some pasta, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah. Any reason, like, that's a lengthy, like, that is not that conversation is not how that would go in real life. You would not add all these unnecessary details to the story. Like, please, we get it. He's just here now. Let's just move on with this. But we get to the point, though, where before Olivia comes in all panicked about Leo, I was like, finally, we're going to get some forward progress on the story and have Julian come clean to Sam and Jason.
Yeah.
And then, they interrupt it with Olivia coming in. And then when they get back around to it again, Julian just kind of throws a cover story to get out of there.
Yeah, because he's got to go deal with this. But yeah, back to, like, Olivia Jerome. Michael B. in the chat says maybe Olivia's problem is she couldn't have kids because of Julian. That would be at least be something this is a long-lasting effect that we wouldn't be able to see and why, you know, she so hates Anna and the Duke obsession. And then Daniela Groff brings up a big point about her weird Asian fetish. And I kind of wondered, it's like, why don't they tie in the Asian Quarter and Brad into this, who is part of their family now?
Yeah.
And that's what's irritating to me, is to see all this and be like, oh, man, this would be perfect for Brad, but he's not there.
Yeah, I mean, especially since Brad's parents are not, have some sort of gang ties.
Yeah.
So that would tie in perfectly with that. Yeah, well, good thing we're not going to get much Brad. That's fantastic.
Yeah, because that's the thing is, like, even if, like, they're busy, kind of write them back in. We've had because Brad's been mentioned with the, you know, Finn storyline and stuff like that. Yes, it'd be great to see Lucas and Brad as a part of this, but, I mean, you know, beggars can't be choosers, right?
I have a feeling it's going to be a while before we see them on camera together. We're just going to get one or the other for the longest time, and then finally for maybe some... Maybe something that happens with Carly and the Nell storyline. Maybe something bad happens and we see them both together. I don't know. But it's just, yeah, that would be such a great idea. I'm just so frustrated that, like, why didn't we just goose the story a little bit more and have Julian come clean finally with Jason and Sam? Like, why not? Why tease us with this again? Because this is just, again, now we got to just wait and wait and wait and wait. And so I know Julian goes back to Olivia and tries to offer a deal. Like, why don't we frame instead of, we frame somebody else. And so it gets a scent off of you, gets Sunny, it's going to get him not following you as well. So who are we going to pin it on? Maybe that's why Julian decided not to tell him. But I'm like, man, I just want to move the story further.
Yeah. I mean, and I feel that we are going to be getting a conclusion by the time we get to February. I mean, because isn't February sweeps month?
It is.
So that's the thing, is maybe that's where we'll get our exciting conclusion. Or exciting.
Yeah. To dovetail back to the Spinelli Nathan Maxey wedding, another thing that irritated me this week was when they decided to just write Lucy out of the wedding. And then say, well, how are we going to get married? And, like, that it took everybody forever to realize, oh, wait, you know, Spinelli's also an ordained minister. He could be doing this.
And didn't you love how it's like, wasn't Griffin there? Yeah. Like, that was my thing. It's like, I love how he does, like, he clearly is listening in the scene and doesn't say anything either. I'm like, do they just forget what people do? I mean, because they made such a big freaking deal about him being a priest. And two, it's just, again, Spinelli doing the wedding would have been awesome if it was Bradford Anderson.
Yes.
And again, none of this is on Blake Barris. He did the best he could with what he was given, and I'd love for him to be a different character, just like Molly Burnett. Like, these great people who come in and fill these hard shoes. But yeah, it just seemed weird.
Especially the way that he was so shocked when Robin called him out on it, too. He's like, what? Huh? He's talking about me? Like,
oh, yeah.
Why, keep your eyes open there, Spinelli. What do you mean? Why are you acting so surprised? And if you knew that the wedding is possibly on the rocks, that you're not stepping up for this. Like, this is terrible. Ugh.
Yeah, it was just like, and again, Griffin was there too. Like, and I'm pretty sure at one point, was it Mac ordained? I think I'm remembering something weird, but I was like, I'm pretty sure at one point he did a wedding.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a former mayor, you should have, be able to have that, at least that special power that you always get to have. Like, I can marry anybody anytime I want.
Or like Felicia could have done it. They could have given her something to do.
But we got a nice, have a little montage of Nathan and Maxey when they first met to kind of chart throughout the years. So that was because when he first came on, he has not changed at all. But it was interesting to see how Kirsten Storms has changed throughout then. Because when she was pregnant when she first came on. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was really interesting to see. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, she was pregnant when the start of this romance. So it was a little like.
But it's finally happening, guys. We're so excited.
Yeah, Sarah C. says Mac married Robin and Patrick. That's what I thought. I was like, I knew that Mac had done a wedding before.
So then, come on. Oh, this is just such, whatever. Oh, this is so corny.
Sometimes, guys, I know it's hard to keep up with everything on GH. It's been on for so long, but some of the stuff was, like, recent. I'm pretty sure that license doesn't go out.
Yeah. So we also have a nice scene here this week too with Elizabeth going to Sam, wanting her help to try to find Franco. Interesting scene, why she went to Sam. Like, I would have thought interestingly maybe go to Curtis, somebody that is a really great private detective, but doesn't have that sort of a personal attachment or agenda against Franco.
I really liked the scenes with Elizabeth and Sam, though. I will say, because it. Like Elizabeth said, I like your mom too, and I want her to get help. She seemed like hers was concerned about, because she thinks Alexis was probably attacked too. And so that's the thing is, like, I will say the transition from Elizabeth to trying to marry Jake Doe to the Elizabeth now is like, wow. This is like Julian's transformation. It's like, okay, back to where he was. And this is the Elizabeth I like, who's concerned about everyone in this situation and wanting to do the right thing. And like she said, she goes, I don't think your mom would kill this person without a good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is like, so she lived like when Sam says she wouldn't do that. It's like, well, you don't know your mother. It's like, I know my mother. Well, clearly you don't, because there's a lot going on.
Yeah, she's like, she looked so distraught. I mean, because she was talking about what she had seen, and I like that.
Yeah, and but she did not mention at all to Sam that she saw her coming out of the room that was an AA meeting. I was like, why didn't you mention that part of it? Because that could have helped a lot. Because Sam would then realize, like, wait, I've seen. So why not say that? Because Sam would have made that instant connection, like, oh, wait a second.
She had to have known with that sign in the way. that's what it was.
So I was like, just Elizabeth, say it was an AA meeting. Just say it's an AA meeting. And then we can see Sam go, oh, got it.
Oh, and just to backtrack a little bit, because we now have some actual proof as to why Matt couldn't do it. Kelly from PEI said, Christina Wagner said in a GH Live chat last Tuesday that Matt's license was expired, even though I'm pretty sure that doesn't happen. But yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh, come on. I give it a, okay. Christina Wagner, thank you for playing, but no.
And Michael B. did mention maybe as a nurse, Liz couldn't say, because it is supposed to be anonymous, so, and she does work for the hospital. I was like, I don't know. But I think Elizabeth would say something.
Yeah, especially to your own daughter. Like, why you wouldn't want to keep the fact that she came out of a potential in AA meeting, like, you know, especially with everything going on, like, maybe I should tell you this.
Yeah.
But we have Franco being abducted by somebody. Didn't really have any much movement on that. He's just locked in a room, sleeping under bubble wrap.
Oh, at least Franco has a way of making everything entertaining. You're like, why? But okay. Yeah.
Well, okay.
He's cold.
Good.
That works.
We've got, of course, a little, we need to see more Nell Michael scenes. And I feel like it's getting repetitive for Nell and Michael, like Nell to tell Michael, like, how can you be so, so optimistic and so happy and so upbeat? And for Michael to always say, you know what I do? Because last week it was like, every day I try to think of like five things I really appreciate in my life. And then this woman was like, every day I like to think like, I was hoping that she was going to call, you think of five things. Got it, Michael. You already told me this already. But now that was like, I try to do one good thing for somebody else. And like, enough with you, what you try to do, Michael. Just move on with this.
Yeah, Jesus, Michael. What are you, a life coach now? I thought you had a job at ELQ.
And for him to be talking like this, because it wasn't that far ago that, when Morgan died and he was really livid at Sonny. So, it didn't last nearly as long as it did when Sonny killed AJ. That went bonkers. But, it's like, all right, Michael, whatever. Do you want to see the two of them get together?
They have chemistry, and it would be interesting depending on who we figure out Nell is. I mean, if they're related, no, because this isn't, where I'm from.
That's a tentative no, though. I don't know. It depends on how it's done.
I mean, they've done it on soaps before, even with Michael, like, you're related. No, you're not.
Yeah,
and two, it's like, this is another one of those storylines, like with Julian's. It's like, okay, I feel like once we figure it out what's going on, then it might be interesting. But I feel that they're changing it as they go along.
And I wonder if with Carly being out of the town in Australia, if this is actually lining up with like a real life vacation or something. So that's why they kind of put that on back burner for a little bit until she gets back. Because I feel like once Carly gets back in town, we're going to gear up to whatever this revelation is going to be.
Yeah, maybe that'll be part of February sweeps. And Simran just loves how you just start every new topic with a ugh.
Yeah, it's just, guys, what you guys are killing me here on GH.
I love Michael B. Hey, leave Michael alone. He needs to get laid. I honestly would agree with that. Michael needs some loving. I mean, now that we don't have Morgan, he's really one of the only younger guys who's not actually attached.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I... Yeah, No, that's very true. And I will definitely see much more chemistry between him and Nell than I do see between Sabrina and Michael.
Yeah, for sure. And to me, it's just like, even with the two Kikis, I really didn't see it. Certainly with Haley Aaron, she was way better with Dylan and Morgan. And you know, with Kristen Alderson, it was cute for a while, but it just seemed forced because they had to rewrite so much story. Yeah. You know, because when she was Star, it made sense. But yeah, when she came on as Kiki, it's like, it's just icky. but everyone in the chat seems to always say like Abby was the one that worked with Michael, and I would agree. Like Andrea Bogart is just so pretty and was such a good actress. I was like, why did they not like keep that?
Yeah,
that was a good story.
I don't know why it that was so again, I'm doing it again. And speaking of things that make me go let's jump into the other storyline that drive it wasn't really a storyline, but just that the scene that just drove me bonkers, because it was just a realization of like everything we talked about and just like the writers just not knowing what to do with the character. And that is Jason and Sonny. And Sonny offering Jason a spot back in the business. I'm like, come on.
I at least like that Jason said no.
I do. But it's just like, dang it, guys. This is what let's... Please. We've talked about, like, just do something different with him. It's not working anymore.
Yeah, and I feel that maybe this was like, okay... we'll have them have this moment so that Jason can say no and go back with his new buddy, Curtis, who's way better.
Yeah, please. Right now, I either want to see him doing corporate security for ELQ or him, Sam, and Curtis doing their own PI firm and they're actually doing cases together. I don't want to see him back in Sonny's organization again. There's just nothing to be gained by having him back in there. Because I feel like if he were to go back in, you know exactly how storylines and stuff would play out. I'm like, I don't want to see that anymore.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is I feel that this is at least hopefully getting to a new Jason. Because to me, if you were to just put him back in the mob, put him back as Sonny's right-hand man, he's so boring because of all the stuff that's happened in between that. And it wouldn't make any sense. It was just like putting Julian back in the mob, you know, and now they realize... yeah, that didn't make sense. Now we're going to have to make up stuff to, like, explain it.
So at least what I do like, though, is that Sam got to overhear the conversation, bring it up to Jason. They talked about it for a second, so it's not something that's being held as a secret between them. Yeah, so that's great. And I just want him to come back and touch base with Sonny and say, hey, thanks, but no thanks. I got to stay out.
Yeah, we need one more, like, no, I'm out. This and The Godfather.
And did they, I guess they permanently tabled the idea of moving out of town? Has that been tabled?
I'm guessing so. Because, too, it's just like, we know you're not going to do it, so why bother? But we have an awesome comment here about you, Frank.
Uh-oh. This is going to be good. This is cooking cherry in this bottle.
There was wine in the fridge. But, it was Daniela Groff says, at the moment, I'm looking forward to Frank's Ranch much more than the actual GH episodes.
Oh, hey! Oh, look at that. You've made my day. Thank you. Look at that. I'm a little bolt of energy to help finish out the show. As I mentioned that cooking cherry in this glass, we do get a scene there of Alexis coming back after her AA meeting and just taking that lonely bottle of cooking cherry. She's sitting it on the dining room, the kitchen, the living room table there, just looking at it. And then I do like Ava walking in and finding it. That scene was great.
I love the scenes between Ava and Alexis lately. Their little banter back and forth is awesome because Ava's the only other person that knows Alexis is off the wagon and is just digging in. Because, she has no intention of saying anything. She's just like, I'm just going to screw with her and it's going to be fun. Ugh. And kudos to Mara West for doing it when she clearly had lost her voice, but she sounded so sexy. It's like Phoebe whenever she thought she was a better singer when she had a cold.
I am really bummed, though, that, again, Julian did not, when he comes back and Ava's still there, does not fill her in. I'm like, hey, guess what? You know, your older sister Olivia is alive. Like, I would have liked to at least have Ava included in it.
Yeah, because that's what's interesting is he hasn't mentioned anything to her. Now, Ava wouldn't have known Olivia, but it's really cool to see a scene when they finally get together because that, you know, Ava wasn't even thought of back then.
I hope they do have. Yeah. They got it. I would think if you're not going to bring Olivia back, if she's not also going to meet Ava at some point.
Yeah, and, you know, will she be jealous? Because Julian and Ava are, like, you know, close. Yeah. And, you know, they only tried to kill each other, like, when they first met. Now they're, like, having each other's back.
What I do like, though, is that when Olivia does tell Julian, like, you know what, I would never kill a child. I could, but I wouldn't do that. But I just want to let you know that I, just so you knew that I could possibly kill that. Like, that's dumbest reasoning for putting, you know, sugar tablets in a baby's hand. Like,
exactly.
Okay, if you're not really going to do it, then what's the point of doing this? But when he does go down the list of people that they can threaten, at no point does Ava's name come up.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, you know, it's like me possibly threatening to kill Ava wouldn't motivate you to do anything, Julian.
And two, it's just like, Ava, you know she exists because you have the internet and you know about Julian, right? But it's almost like she doesn't think she's there.
Does she know about her twin sister from...
Yeah, Denise DiMuccio. Yeah.
It would be worth it to see Olivia and Ava get together for her to just give her a hard time. Like, what was this Denise DiMuccio thing you're doing?
Yeah.
Anybody that knows Ava for any length of time should always bring that up. That does not get brought up enough, that you actually for a while pretended to be your own twin sister with this terrible accent and this terrible wig.
That was one of those awful storylines. It's still fun to bring up as a joke.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody should just do it. Like, anytime, like, Sunny and her having an interaction, and she'd be like, you wore a wig and pretended to be your own twin sister. Get out of my house. You're not getting Avery. Get out of here. any other hot scenes that we have here? I don't know. I think we've covered everything.
I know. I was like, I think.
Just double-checking my little rundown here.
No,
check. Yeah, the last one is Hayden and Finn.
Oh, yeah, there was a little bit.
Oh, man. Again, we talked about it a little bit last week. Like, just why are they dragging this out with the addiction thing? This is just killing me. Just, I don't know why he's being so secretive about it. I just don't understand why.
Yeah, again, this is one of those things. It's like, why bother? Let's just make them well and go into a new storyline.
Yeah, because... the frustrating thing is that it seems like the actors have a great chemistry. The fans are really enjoying that relationship. I think seeing Hayden paired up with Finn is so much more enjoyable than seeing her time with Nicholas. It's making me soften on Hayden, this relationship with Finn. And so clearly fans are rooting for this. So let it just at least start off. You're not even given a chance to really start off because you're already building into the beginnings of it, its destruction. With this whole addiction storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, is the only way I could see this storyline having any merit is to make a friendship between Finn and Alexis when they meet in recovery. Because that's obviously where we're going with Alexis. And two, okay, then that would give us two people in the scene that makes sense. And to give him something different besides the Satan relationship, which is good, we want to see that, but we also like to see them work or have something else going on.
Yeah.
So that would be the only payoff that I'm willing to accept why they're doing this.
Please. So I think that is going to do it for our terms of our wrapping up here, but we haven't done our segments in a while, so I'm going to toss it over to Lucretia Lyon for our winners and losers of the week.
You know, because I usually like to crap on Jason lately. I was going to give it to Liz because I really love the scene with her concern and going to Sam. But I've been really kind to Elizabeth. So it's Jason's turn to get a little bit of props for pretty well saying no and talking about it with Sam and, you know, not wanting to be a part of the mob.
Well, look at that. How about your loser of the week?
My loser of the week, you know, it has to go to... the wedding, in a way. It was like, it was just, there were great parts of it, but yeah, I mean, I guess I can make a thing of a loser. or to be honest, because it's like, I'm tired of saying Lulu, but, and we all know she was the biggest loser of the week.
Oh,
but,
man.
Yeah.
It's, I just like, yeah, get him to the ER stat is just, for me, it's going to be writing, just taking these legacy characters and just writing them just so horribly. Yeah. You've got Lulu Spencer, you've got Jason Quartermain, John Doe, Jason Morgan, whatever. It's just like, why are we just like one? And it's two different things. Like, one, Lulu, you're just giving him her terrible character trait, and you're obsessing about it. You cannot write a scene with Lulu where it's not about that in some fashion.
Baby.
Yeah, and even when she's supposed to be doing something great for Maxie, she constantly has that on her mind.
Yeah, it's like, this is your best friend's wedding. Yeah. And that was the thing, too. It's like, it almost seemed like, Nina was more helpful than Lulu.
Yeah, and to go to Valentine, just because Valentine shows up with Charlotte, it's like, you're not welcome here. It's like, well, no, I'm married to Nina, and Nina's, you know.
this wedding.
So I've got every right to be here. It's like, Lulu, who are you to be dictating who's coming to your friend's wedding? Like, move along there. Just, please, just got to do something different, because this is not Lulu Spencer that I am in any way interested in watching. Like, there's got to be something different done with this character. And then Jason Morgan, you know, just, it's not, it's just the writing for Jason. Again, like, we're just having him just, like, dabble in the gang storylines or the organization. Like, man, for a character that I feel like this is beating a dead horse, but it just keeps getting repeated because I just keep seeing the same mistakes happen. It's just, he had so much potential, even when he found out that he was really Jason Morgan.
Yeah, where they drop the ball is not giving him both his memories back. And that's the thing, is like, why don't we have someone whack Jason in the head and then get the Jason Quartermain memories back, and then that'll be more interesting.
Yeah, because, I mean, I thought the deal was like, after he came out of that, he did have both, but they've really dropped the ELQ side of it. Like, it's just, he's just gravitated more towards Sonny again, and it just, there's just the same old chemistry. It's like putting on like a, you can't go home again. You just can't go, at least with Billy Miller in the role of Jason Morgan, you can't go back to that same Sonny-Jason dynamic. It's just, it was tired when Steve Burton was leaving. It was just like, I think we reached a tipping point when Steve Burton was on the show. So for us to come back, you had built in this opportunity with him coming back and playing it out with the amnesia to open it up, to have all his memories come back, to do so much more with that character. And this is what we've got. I'm holding out a shining light because the Jason Curtis scenes are great.
Yeah, those are good.
Yes. And so I will take that, but just, you know, have them be Jason and Sonny Beef buddies that never talk, never hang out, but we're just always buddies. Let's just imagine all their conversations, the hangout time, happen off camera. So that off camera, they're hanging out, they're having good times, but we never see them together on camera, so they can both go on to different storylines and do much more interesting things with those characters. Yeah, there you go. I'm going to take a nap now.
I was like, oh, that's it.
That was it. Oh, my rat.
I got it all out.
I ranted too much now. So, folks, you know what we're going to do? We're gonna close the book on this episode of Port Charles. How about the GH Report?
Yeah.
Because we're talking about Port Charles. But, folks, as always, guess what? You like us on Facebook. Can you open up the Facebook page?
Yeah, let's see where we are.
Let's get an accurate number of how many likes we have on this current GH Report Facebook page. It's going to be exciting, guys. I'm going to guess 2374. Let's see if I'm... This is exciting. Yeah. What's the number going to be?
It's raining here, so the internet is not fun. Let's see. Oh, we have 1,445 likes.
1,480. Okay. All right. Wow. So, my likes actually jumped us over over where our criteria was. What was I thinking? I'm living in like 2095 when we passed the 2,000 like mark. So, boy, guys, we're just some 500 and some odd away from that. So.
And thank you, Mommy, for liking it. You were one of the people that liked this.
Oh, look at that. There you go.
She's trying.
All right. Yes. So, folks, keep liking us on Facebook. Because remember, 2,000, boy, there's a big prize coming. It's going to be some huge, awesome James Ladd Jr.-centric prize where, he's just going to open up the James Ladd Jr. vault, bring out some great treasures in there to share with you. Oh, that'd be fantastic. But in the meantime, so like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. It's been great to hear what you guys are thinking about the show and the characters and everything like that. If you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Lucretia, where can they find you?
You guys can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
Oh, my goodness, folks. And you can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. Until then, folks, we'll be back next week with another episode of the GH Report right here. And hopefully in 2 weeks, Papa Bear will be back right here in this seat. It's going to be, just a warm hug just coming back in the studio. Mm-hmm. Look at that. We can't wait. Until then, folks, have a great week. Enjoy General Hospital. And we'll see you next week, next Sunday here for the GH Report on AfterBuzz TV.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. to watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.